I do.
Well, since you're captaining the ship, do you want to just take a break and then lead us into moments of joy?
No, because I'm captaining my ship, Dan Digman. Will you take us into a break?
Well, there you go.
Way to delegate, dude.
Oh, nice.
True leadership.
Look at that smile.
You just do that. You and Ryan both, like, do the breaks really well. Hi, welcome to this, the 11th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm rolling into a story about a recent frustration that Dan and I visited and had to deal with, but we could not do this without our producer, Ryan.
Hello.
And so I'm captaining the ship today.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're doing
it. What waters are we sailing through, Captain?
Well, and it's funny, they're rough waters because I have multiple sclerosis and Dan has multiple sclerosis.
Wait, hold on. This is the first time ever hearing of this.
No, for real. No, for Ryan, real. It's a big rough water. And in that water, some point in time for a lot of us will come a urologist. And that's the appointment that really kind of burned my butt this week. And the word urodynamics. That was the test that I was supposed to have on Thursday. And I like my urologist very well. And I've lived with MS for 23 years. And I'm in a wheelchair, which I think that's kind of what people are most afraid of when you think about multiple sclerosis. So it's, oh, good heavens. What if I can't walk anymore? What will that do? Well, that crap is crap, but you'll make it through. But for me, my biggest fear is I never wanted to catheterize.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And 23 years later, I still never want to have to catheterize. And so I was having this test on Thursday, a urodynamics study, to look at my bladder and how multiple sclerosis has affected me. And my loving husband and my caregiver, Jen, we hopped in my car, our car, and we drove for an hour to a doctor's office to have this test done. And that's when, well, Dan, what do you have to, if you insert the story, because all sorts of curse words are going through my head right now.
It was just something where I'm there. I mean, and I took time out of work. You know, I took half a day of work because we're going to have to do this test. And so I'm there, and the nice thing is having Jen, the caregiver, there. I mean, just because knowing that when we go to a hospital, a doctor's office, where you're going to have a test like this, I have to help you transfer into whatever vessel, whatever bed, whatever chair you're going to have to be in. And if you have to take your pants off, it's a lot easier if Jen's there to pull your pants down so we can do this. And so We're sitting waiting, and everything's going fine. This is like, oh, we've been here, you know, to this particular facility, and the nurse calls for Jennifer Digman, and so Jen and I stand up with, and we start going with, and the woman was, the would you call her a nurse? I mean, because she did the test and stuff.
I would call her a nurse because she was a nurse.
Well, but just how she's like, no. No, just Jennifer, they can't come back. And it's just like, to which then you spoke up and says, but that's my husband and my caregiver, and they need, no, we can only have, only one of them can come back. Well, then obviously that would be me, because I'm the one who can help transfer. And she's just like, the room is so small, we can't. And it's just like, dude, you're going to need me back there because Jennifer can't do this. And I know, truly, I had a bad scent from the beginning because I'm just thinking, this is not
going
to go well.
She like rules lawyer? Like, what's going on? It's like, oh, you can only, like,
She was very dismissive.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, end result, she was a pleasant enough person and she had a job to do, but she was very dismissive. And as a wheelchair user and anyone out there in listener land who uses a wheelchair, you get what I'm saying, just where they look at you and they're like, oh no.
Oh.
You can't do this.
No. Can you move your legs? Can you stand? Can you, I mean, and it's just like you were getting like, you know, the all the whatever the
right in the lobby or
right, yeah, yeah, oh, right. What in the yeah, so that was a little something, but just when people look at me and they assume, well, A, that I can't speak for myself, or B, that I'm not smart enough because I have legs that don't work. That one still mystifies me 20 years later.
Lean down here real quick so I can punch you in the mouth.
And so she was just very dismissive, like, this is never going to work. But I needed this test. I've had this test done in the past. Granted, it was with my old urologist. But because I've had this test done, but there should be an asterisk next to urodynamics because this was so much more invasive and so much more like testing that was going to happen to my poor little bladder. But my husband's a trooper and he transferred me into this chair that, thank heavens, I had taken Baclof in to relax my legs so that I could get into stirrups and into this chair. And this nurse was like, this is never going to work.
This I'm a quitter.
Yeah. This is never going to work. I know what I'm going to find out. You have a neurogenic bladder, which is real. It's a reality for those of us living with multiple sclerosis. Just our bladder spasm all the time because our little nerves are being destroyed by our immune system. So I'm like, Captain Obvious here, you're telling me nothing I don't know. And she just said, this test is not going to happen. So Dan basically drove me and Jen for an hour, and then we got into this equipment and the test didn't happen. So
test didn't happen after you already were, you know, had your pants off, you were in like just in the stirrups and things, and it was just like in all the adjustments we had to do in there, that chair didn't lock in, and that's part of the reason you weren't in the chair good to begin with, because I go and pivot her into the chair, and when I sit her down, the chair rolls ever so slightly, and so she wasn't in position, and then it was just like, and that's when she says, oh, we need to move her, we need to, it's like, well, hold your chair steady. And yeah, and so then it was, so okay, then we realized this isn't going to happen. And it's just like where you have that, almost like where you don't, you feel that they didn't even try.
Yeah.
You know?
Like there have to be like procedures in place for this happening. Like,
and I find this ironic today that we're talking. And the Americans with Disabilities Act has been signed into law for 31 years, and I'm in
on the day we're recording, right?
On the day we're recording, and I had this test 3 days ago, and this test was in a hospital. You gotta think they're capped in ADA, and this was not accessible.
Jeez.
I'm in a wheelchair. I don't think I'll ever be able to have this test, and that is, I think that's ironic and frustrating, and that's why I'm captaining the ship show today, because that was ship with a P, ship show.
That was pretty good. Ship show, I think that's the name of the episode.
Yeah, but that's why I'm captaining, because it's frustrating beyond belief that 31 years later I can go to a hospital and have a nurse look at me and just pretty much write me off like, oh, you're in a wheelchair, this is never going to happen.
That sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's frustrating for me. And you, as an able-bodied person, Ryan, have you ever dealt with a doctor's appointment or just anything where you just feel completely written off like that?
Yes, I have. Okay. So I guess I should clarify, because Dan and Jen weren't just ready with this story to like come complaining about hospital stuff. It was my idea, because I'd had a bad hospital experience when I was a kid, and it sort of turned me off of doctors and hospitals entirely. And recently, I have some, like, you know, with the blood clot and all that other stuff lately, I've been like, my dad's been having some health issues, and I've just put stuff off for so long. And I was like, okay, stop being that guy and grow up and go to the dang doctor or whatever. And so I, you know, moving forward in that direction, but it made me think about the original thing that happened to me. So that's why I pitched this sort of topic. But what had happened is I was just riding my bike like a kid, and I had an old Mongoose, like, dirt bike thing. Oh, yeah, And it had aluminum pedals. And this was a bike from the 80s, so safety regulations weren't really things. Mm-mm. So the metal pedals had just the little edge that was aluminum, and it was sort of serrated. And I was going down a hill, and this was an old, you know, single gear bike. And so to stop, you push backwards on the pedals. And it was just zinging down a hill. And so I took my feet off the pedals to let the bike go. And then I put my left leg down, and the pedal came back around and just sunk into the back of my Achilles tendon, basically.
Ow.
You can still see the scar. There's a pretty decent scar back here. It just went about a half inch in to my leg. So I had to, like, pull my leg off of the pedal. Hurt so bad. And I had to walk home because my mom wouldn't come get me. I was like a mile away from my house. Like, I went home, and mom looked at it. She's like, oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Let's take it easy. And then the next, I don't think it cut my tendon or anything, but it, like, might have nicked it or something, because I could not walk the next day.
Oh, wow.
Like, it healed, like, it scabbed over and healed, but, like, every time I put any pressure on it, I hit the ground, because I was like, it hurts. And then so she finally took me to the doctor, not the hospital, just like a Ready Care, Rite Aid, or not Rite Aid, but Ready Care sort of thing. I went in there, and I don't know if this guy was drunk or high or whatever happened, but he takes me back and he goes, okay, yeah, we're going to have to, like, clean the wound out to stitch it up properly. No anesthetic, just started digging into my ankle.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. And I was 10, 11 years old. It was the most pain I've ever been in my entire life. Just all the swear words that could ever come out were streaming out of my face. And my mom was getting mad at me for swearing. And I was like, he is cutting my ankle open, and I can feel every single little bit of it. And eventually, I was just bawling, like crying my eyes out, because it hurt so bad. And then eventually he was like, oh, I guess I could put a local on it. And I was like, yeah, shouldn't you have done that at the start? And then, because he was just going to, like, cut, because he had to cut all the scab out and all like the dead skin and that sort of stuff that had been sitting for a day or whatever. Oh. And yeah, just, and then he stitched it up. I think that's when he put the local on, is after he was, or he cleaned it out and then was going to stitch it together. I'm like, oh, cool. The easiest part. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I'm already, my goodness.
Like, I felt like I was going to pass out. Like, I'm surprised I didn't.
And you wonder deep down if that's what he was hoping would happen.
I don't know.
Like, shut this kid up. Just let him pass out. Let mother nature.
Shut this kid up. Let's give him some drugs.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, and what's interesting, not to date myself or to date this story, but you said my mom wouldn't come pick me up.
Nope.
How did you communicate with
her? Payphone.
Wow. Thus. Yep. Wow.
Back when I had phone numbers memorized, which isn't, I can still remember my dad's work number from when I was a kid. 1-800-824-4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But gosh, payphone, ow. That's, yep. Yeah, that's, when you have doctors like that, don't you want to, now that it's a grown man, you want to find that doctor?
And, yeah, he was old then, so my only hope is that he's dead.
Seriously, dude, you couldn't give me some whiskey and
anything,
something like to bite on? Oh, you poor kid, that would scar me for life. Oh. And my
probably why I'm so cheery.
And you know, my appointment with my urologist, that was a nightmare for us, but we left, and I will see the urologist in person theoretically August 10th. And so that'll be good, and it, and hopefully she will have some things for me, and I will recover from that, but it's just, you know, that was, you know, number of years ago.
Yeah.
Payphone, for heaven's sakes. And yeah. You still, like, you know, you're still like.
Somebody stole that bike too. It really bummed me out.
Did you have shoes on?
Yeah.
That was one thing that we had rules, that if you had bicycles with spokes on them like that, like the mm-hmm. metal thing, you had to wear shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That can mess up.
You get caught without shoes on. Woo, you got trouble.
Yeah, because I've seen some people, like I saw this yesterday, somebody's riding their bike around and they're using their foot to stop their back wheel instead of just using the brakes. And like, I've seen people do that on dirt bikes and mountain bikes and stuff. But this was like a girl in a park riding a nice bike. But she just like, maybe it was like habit from when she was a kid or something. But she was riding next to somebody and she just kind of set up off her seat a little bit, and then I saw her kick her leg back. I'm like, I know that move. Why is she doing that?
Oh, wow. Do you have any crazy biking stories from when you were a kid, or do you have any crappy doctor's appointments you want to talk about, Dan?
I'm just... you guys had just like mega awesome stories. I don't have any, you know, I'll say, oh, yeah, I did this. No, I mean, when you were talking about the swearing and stuff and the AR, and I do remember when, but it wasn't necessarily because it was a bad experience from the doctor, but I probably told you about this, and this is so minimal comparatively, like with a, you know, pedal wedging like an inch into my Achilles and you, but I do remember I had had like an infection in my finger. You remember that? We weren't married, but I had like, maybe we were, but it was just swollen up. Yeah. We think we were married where it was swollen up so bad that, and I went into the ER to have them look at it just cause, and it was, and I, you know, and you're sitting there waiting, and I just remember the doctor came, and he was fine and doing things, but it's just like when he had to put like an injection into my finger, and you know how when you have, you know, or you're getting a shot or something, you're having something happen, you're just thinking, okay, well, it's only going to hurt for a second, it'll be done. And it just kept intensifying, and I just right there in the ER just shouted, you know, I don't want to swear, cause I'm, but I was like, you know, and shouted so loud because, and it just kept going. I mean, whatever he was injecting, and but that, you know, again, minimal. Me.
Yeah, he had a nerve or something?
I don't know what it was, but I mean, it was just, yeah, but I didn't have any real, you know, bike accident. You know, I remember, you know, you wipe out on the, I remember wiping out on the gravel down my mom and dad's house, but, you know, and I had, you know, I really felt like I'd busted something. You ever, but that's the thing, you know, when we're talking about breaking things, and Ryan, you had talked earlier about like breaking your ankle or something, like just at first of the summer.
First day of summer.
was it, and that's where it would be the bad timing for everything. But I remember when I was in elementary school, and you know, you see like a friend like come in to school and they have like an arm cast or a leg cast, and everybody wanted to sign their cast. And I was like, why couldn't I, wish I would break a bone so I could have a cast so everyone would do it. But then I remember then
I didn't let anyone sign my cast.
Why?
Because I'm a weirdo.
Because that, but again, I mean, that's just it. You're in the summer. No one's there to sign the cast. So it's like, that was a waste.
Yeah, I got like a dark color just so like pen stuff wouldn't show. I was like a dark maroon or whatever, just for the reason I'm like, no one, nope, I don't want anybody to sign it. I don't want it. Nope.
Yeah.
And yeah, the kicker of that story is first day of summer, broke my ankle. And that entire summer we were planning to spend at my friend Kevin's grandma's lake house. The whole summer. Like, parents were okay with it. I had a job, but it wasn't far from there. So I just spent the whole summer driving back and forth from job to lake, and everybody was swimming. And
Except you.
I went about 2 weeks without swimming. Like, I would put my one leg in, and then that half of the body made it in at one point. I'm like, I'll just keep my foot on the beach, and I'll lay in the shallow part of the water. And then I'm like, well, if we go out on the pontoon, I'll wrap it in a trash bag just in case it gets wet, but I'll have it wrapped. It'll be fine. And then eventually that just got to be like, wrap it in, I'm going.
Yeah. Like lake water.
And the break was nothing. I just went to kick a ball for a dog and like planted my left foot weird, kicked the ball, and then it was just on the ground. I'm like, oh, what happened? I didn't hurt. I just couldn't put any weight on that foot. I would just fall.
And I think probably you and I were both diagnosed with MS to the point early enough in our life where you're just, I don't want to have to see the doctor any more than I already have to.
Yeah.
So we'll be careful. Although I remember one of the wedding gifts that we got almost 16 years ago being a beautiful glass vase. That's a good story.
It was. It, you know, you register for all the gifts, and it was like a shower gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like this big, huge vase, like big, huge glass vase. And we had had flowers here at the house. Why did I have? Because we weren't even married yet. You weren't even living here. But somehow I had put flowers in this big glass vase. And just before, seriously, it was like the day before I drove down to Flint for the wedding, I like cleaned out the vase, you know, and I'm drying it in the sink and, you know, washing, drying in the sink here. And it slipped out, you know, you have no feeling in your hands, and it slipped out of my hands and just shattered in the sink. And I had this big cut down my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was horrendous. And then you're standing, and I'm here by myself. And how do you do this and not get blood all over the floor and stuff? And how do I clean this up? So, and I called Peggy and stuff. And Peggy, could you help? So Peggy came over. She was a friend I used to work with. And she came and helped clean up all the glass and stuff. But then I had stitches. And so, yeah, we got married. I had the stitches in my hand and stuff. And so then how do we do that with a honeymoon that I'm going to have to help Jennifer and transfers and things?
Oh, geez.
But I have, you know, I'm kind of one-handed sort of thing. And
wow, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder, dude.
But that night, that was our rehearsal dinner for our wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we were going down. Man.
Wow. See, that's a sign that we're getting old, that we can't remember. I mean, that was a big story. I can remember the urologist appointment from Thursday, but I completely forgot about you breaking that vase.
Well, because we're not necessarily talking about all the bad things, you know, good things. One of the things I remember, then we have the whole urologist appointment, but one thing I remember was when you were getting your plasmapheresis when we were dating. And so she was in the hospital down in Flint, and that's where plasmapheresis, like basically flushing out your blood, was, how's that work? You're just recycling out your blood with putting fresh blood in.
Oh.
Albumin, take the junky white blood cells. I'm sure we'll clarify this when we...
In our liner notes.
Yeah. But we took out the crappy stuff and put in
an oil change kind of?
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Plasmapheresis, I was having a really bad MS exacerbation, and that's what my neurologist at the time chose to do.
And I just remember, because it was on the weekend, and that, you know, and I would always go down to Jennifer's and her parents on the weekend and stuff, but you were in the hospital getting your plasmapheresis. And I mean, that was, we weren't married or anything, but just that the hospital, the nursing staff was kind enough that they put a cot in her room so I could sleep the room with her. I mean,
wow.
And I mean, just like, you know, in terms of like, you know, where people write you off, you know, because you're in a wheelchair. But I mean, just to where they accommodated for your boyfriend. I think we were engaged by then.
I think so. Yeah. But boy, I don't want to give the urologist any sort of bad review. It wasn't her, but it's just I think it's an easy thing. And when you see a patient in a wheelchair, I'm a little more capable with Dan's help. It's easy to write me off and say, oh, she's in a wheelchair, she can't do it. But damn straight, I'm going to say, if I can do it, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a good try before I'm going to just let somebody write me off.
Yeah. I guess I didn't emphasize the writing off part for my thing. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like when you show up somewhere, like a hospital, you're essentially asking them for help. So that's like, for me, that's the hard thing to do. I'm not great at like going up to somebody and be like, I need your help. Right. Like, I'm better at it now, but like, told my mom, like the person you're always supposed to go to for crap like that. I'm just like, this really hurts. It's not just a cut. We should go get this looked at. It'll be fine. You're fine. It's not bleeding that much was the metric. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yes, because it's all, muscle. Like there's not a lot of veins and stuff or whatever. But then the doctor, like looking at it, he's like, well, it doesn't look that bad. I'm like, dude, I can't put any weight on it. I fall down. I'm like, please help me.
Yeah.
And then just to be like, okay, I'll help you, but it's going to hurt. Dude, that's not the way doctors are supposed to be.
And that's progress, that doctors aren't like that. Yeah. And that's, things have changed a lot, thank heavens. So when you see the progress we have made, and know you hear a story like you're telling Ryan, I'm like, so maybe the nurse on that day was just like, rather than put you through all this, I'm just going to say this is never going to work. Yeah. And instead, headstrong Jennifer and Dan should have listened to her and said, you know what? You're a nurse. You know better, but headstrong.
Or maybe I'm a nurse. I'm a caregiver. I should listen to what you're saying.
Yeah. That would be.
Oh, you made an appointment and you came all the way down here just on a guess?
Yeah.
Yes. We were referred just, mm-hmm. by lottery.
So it'll be interesting because I will see my urologist on August 10th. And I imagine that conversation will be interesting about this previous, because I don't want to be crabby patties, because I need help. And there may be a conversation that Botox may be the next solution for my spastic bladder and neurogenic bladder. So that'll be interesting, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Is the catheterization thing, is that just like a preference you don't want to do it, or is it going to be more hassle than it's worth, or more like what's the story there, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I don't do it because it's a little tube, and I have really bad dexterity.
Ah, gotcha.
And my caregiver of choice, i.e. Dan Dickman, has really bad dexterity. Okay. And it's just something that I don't think is a reality for me. And so if anyone out there in listener land has multiple sclerosis and bad dexterity and knows the secret for catheterizing, hit us up, let us know, because that's something I'm scared. And I belong to this MS community that none of us want to be part of, but now that we're here, like, enjoy the ride with them. But I don't typically want to share my weakness like that and ask for help. So I think now I'm asking for help. Yeah. Help is hard to ask for, but I would like to know what anyone...
I've been having like tinnitus in my ear. It came on suddenly last Friday, and it's just hung there the whole time, and it's scaring the hell out of me. And like trying to talk to the doctor about or a nurse or whatever, like filling out all the paperwork, she goes, so what's your most pressing concern? And I was like, well, probably the blood pressure thing, but also my right ear is driving me insane. And I was like, it seems like not, I'm scared about the blood pressure thing, to be honest. Like, I'm just like, I think about that and I'm trying to get it under control. If it's actually wrong, I don't know if it is. That's how scared of it I kind of am. This was like, I could get a little blood pressure monitor thing and like keep track of it myself, but do I really want to know? Because that will make me freak out about it more.
Right.
But then like just talking to her about it, and it's just like, she's like, are you going deaf? And I'm like, I didn't have any thought of that before, and I just went, holy shit. Like, especially right now, it's like I'm producing a podcast and I listen to music and podcasts all day long. if I went deaf, holy crap. Wow. That would be awful. Like, well, I'm going to go home and cry now. Goodbye.
Well, and that's like Dr. Google.
Yeah.
You know, you Google something and you see like, oh my God, this could be 100 million times worse.
I do it the wrong way for that. I look at it and be like, it's like, this could cause death. I'm like, well, there's nothing I can do about it then. Might as well not even bother.
Wow. Well, that's
really stupid. Yeah, I know. It's like, my right hand hurts. I should look that up. It's like, probably a blood clot. You're going to die. Okay. Well, fine.
Yeah.
No, this was just good. Just to be talking about doctors and just appointments and things. And so that was pretty heady. So I guess we'll take a break. We'll come back and we will do Moments of Joy.
So back again to end of the episode, Moments of Joy, unexpected or expected, awesome, happy things that happen and just lift your day, make your day, make your week, whatever you got. Jennifer, do you have a moment of joy?
My moment of joy was after the doctor's appointment on Thursday. My caregiver, Jen, and I were treated lunch by my lovely husband, and we went and we had ice cream, and that's always joyful. And it was even better because it was marshmallow fluff and brownie. And it was just a winning combination. And so that, I mean, sincerely, when you're just sitting with good company and you're following up a kind of less than good doctor's appointment with ice cream, that makes for a happy afternoon. How about you, Dan? What was your moment of joy?
Okay, well, but understand then this is a moment of joy, and I didn't really talk about it last night, but okay. We had gotten pizza, ordered pizza from the cabin, had to do, you know, but did pickup because pickup was going to be a 45-minute wait, whereas they said if it was delivery, it'd be like hour 45 because the big thing with pandemic, everything's, people are short-staffed, and it's a, you know, Saturday night at the cabin. So I go up to pay for, you know, to pick up the pizza, and they says, well, it's still about, she said 4 minutes out. And so then I sat at the bar, and it was a nice thing because then you're just sitting at the bar and I had nothing to do. And I just said, the bartender says, well, geez, I'm going to sit here. Give me a bottle of Miller Lite. And so I was just there sitting at the bar for 4 minutes, but the Tigers were on. And just that, you know, for that brief moment, just I was at the bar drinking a beer watching the Tigers.
That's pretty
good. And that was, you know, granted, I knew what was ahead of me was an even better moment, that I was going to bring pizza home. We're going to have pizza and we could watch the Tigers here, but just at the bar, and just the Tigers were on and they were beating Kansas City. And so that was just fun, just to be able to sit there, have a beer at the bar, watch the Tigers.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
How about you, Ryan?
Actually, well, I was going to say having health insurance, that's a good one, because that was nice, and that is going to affect my life going forward.
That's huge.
But your thing just made me think of one. I was walking around the park in Midland. There's an Indian place in Midland. I can't remember the name. I apologize. But I was walking around the forest. To be 100% honest, I was a little high. Because as I've mentioned previously, now that I'm a Michigan resident officially again, I can get my med card for anxiety for stuff, and that'll be great because it's really helped my not going crazy the last year. But anyway, so I was walking around and I'm like, oh man, I'm super hungry, and I'm like, oh, there's that Indian place right down the thing. And so it was a half mile or so walk, maybe not that much, but it was a decent walk. And I got all the way down there, and I'm hot and I'm sweaty, and I'm just like, oh man, I'm going to a store or going to a restaurant and sit there all hot and sweaty and gross. But at the same time, I'm like, it'll be fine. And I went in, not that many people in, sat down, ordered chicken tikka masala, and then a mango lassi. I don't know if you guys have ever had mango lassi before. It's an Indian drink. It's made out of mango and some other sort of magic. I don't entirely know. But it's really good, and the place that I ate at in Austin all the time made fairly good It was tasty, not very sweet. It's, you know, just a fruit drink. It's basically like a smoothie almost. It's so thick, like it coats the side of the glass, and it's awesome. But their last was the best I've ever had. It was so good. So it was like they gave it to me immediately in this really cool glass, and I took pictures of it and put it on. It looked like a weird sunset when I took a picture through the glass. It was so thick when I was drinking. Like, I would take a drink out of it, and you know that thing, like, you have a good, like, the first drink of a good beer or something where you just, like, you don't want to set the glass down while you're doing the swallow because you're like, that little vibration of me setting the glass down could, like, interrupt this moment that my palate is having. The first drink I took off this thing, I just tipped the glass back and couldn't help myself. I went, as I was drinking it. And then I sat it down, or I went to set it down, and I didn't. I just hovered the glass off the table for like a full 30 seconds, just enjoying that swallow. And then I like opened my eyes, and there was a lady staring at me, and I just had this hanging over the table. And then I set it down, and I was sitting there for a second, and I just immediately grabbed the glass again and just started drinking it. Oh, it was so good. It was like I had to force myself not to just down the glass. Like, I'm like, your dessert now, I'm setting you over here because the food's going to come and I'm going to eat that and then I'm going to destroy you.
Yes.
Oh, it was, wow, the best.
And I imagine that was a moment of joy for that lady. Just like, to watch. What the heck like, is this guy doing? He's enjoying this so much. You know, yeah. Sometimes that's awesome.
Yeah. I haven't gone back yet because I'm kind of scared. I'm like, was it that good or was I just enough high and enough hungry? Where it was good, like the chicken tikka masala was good. It wasn't the best I've ever had, but that drink was hands down the best I've ever. Oh man! If you guys ever come to Midland, we're gonna eat over there.
All right, well, we should do that.
Should it's good stuff. Oh man!
And we sound food obsessed. You know, pizza.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Indian food, ice cream.
Hey, we need food to live.
We need.
Might as well talk about it.
We do, and if you, moderation.
There you go.
That's important, because I don't want any of our folks in the MS community to say, you know, you could make better choices, but it's all about moderation.
Oh, and it's about all choices. Because, I could make, I'm lately, especially with, you know, health stuff, I've been very careful about food. I've been cutting out sweets and paying attention to sodium levels, and that's, I've never done that crap before. And I don't like it. It's annoying. But I do it because I don't want to die. But you have to, give yourself a thing every so often. Yesterday, I was out riding bike around, and it was, I mean, like 2 or 3 hour bike ride or whatever. It was pretty good. And then I was like, I'll come in for a landing. And as I was riding back, I noticed dark, dark clouds because it's supposed to have been raining all day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap. And so I was passing my favorite coffee shop. As I saw the clouds in the distance, I'm like, I should just stop here, get something to drink, chill out, and then just take the rest of the ride. And then it's so far away. There's no way. I'll get home before it gets. Nope. Halfway between the coffee shop and the house. Jeez. I was instantly drenched. Head to toe. There was water in my shoes. It's like riding my bike. I'm like, oh, well. But it was warm outside and I was already wet. I'm like, don't care. And I just kept going. And then when I got home, I'm like, okay, I've been really good lately. I'm going to go down to the store and get a thing of ice cream and sit here and eat it.
You've earned it.
Yep, that's exactly right. Like, yep, the smart choice would be to not. It would be to eat celery or some other stupid thing. But I wanted what I wanted. And, you know, I think for mental health, you got to give yourself those little things. Yep.
Yeah, so that was a really good discussion. We had good moments of joy.
Yeah. I'm either... Now it's like, am I hungry or I feel like I'm full because I just had ice cream and pizza and
mango lassi. Oh,
Indian food. So I captained the ship today.
Yep.
Bring us home, babe.
Yep. Thanks.
Pull her into
Thank
port.
Thank you, yeah. I need a honk honk, Thank you. And so we're pulling into port, and this has been a couple takes on MS, and I'm Jennifer Digman. I'm rolling over to Dan Digman, who's going to tell you
that I'm Dan Digman. I'm walking, and we are a couple takes on MS.
And then we're going to roll over to Ryan, who's going to tell us how you all can tell me or Dan or Ryan how to stay in contact, or what you want for show ideas. Or if you have catheterization experience and you want to help me jump over that hurdle, I would appreciate it.
Yeah. If you have comments on the show, you can go ahead and email me. It is actomspodcast@gmail.com. And any app you listen on, if you could go ahead and give us a comment there too, or 5 stars, or, you know, whatever feels nice. We would appreciate it. Thank you.
So we're out, right?
Yeah. Well, it's your show. How do you end it?
Peace out.